Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Marks and Reese, live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. 6 o'clock, the Brandon Graham Show. I'll stick around for that. And then Ike has the Players Lounge tonight. And I'm looking forward to... I don't know much about your guest tonight.
Tim Jernigan.
Man. Yeah, he's been a welcome addition to this team in the defense, and you can tell his teammates like what he brings to the team, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what else. I don't even know if they really have a choice. I mean, if you seen Tim Jernigan up close and personal,
you're going to mess around with him.
If there's anything you don't like, you better keep it to yourself.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, all right, joining us right now from
the gold teeth.
Is he going to have the golds in the night?
They come out?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. My father-in-law's a dentist in West Philly.
I don't know how it works.
My father-in-law's a dentist right. In West Philly, and he's been making golds for years, but I never asked him how it all works.
Oh, they do make the ones that pop in and
pop
out.
Like a mouthpiece. I don't know much about him.
Well, that's one of the 20 questions we'll ask Tim Jernigan tonight.
All right, cool. Shio Kapati has gold teeth, too. He's from the Athletic, but he takes them out for games.
He got that diamond grill.
What's up, Shio?
I don't think they come out. I've never seen, if they do come out, I've never seen Tim Jernigan without them. So I look forward to hearing you ask him that, Ike.
He's a Florida guy. See, the people up north get the ones that come out. When you're in Florida, they're in permanently, yes. They are in.
All right, Shio, so let's get right to it. Yesterday after the game, and a friend of mine even texted me and said, is this the game where Ajayi complains about the lack of touches at the end of the game? And I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I wonder. I wonder how he's going to be. Now, he didn't outwardly and outright complain about it. A lot of people were just, and Ray Dininger on the postgame kind of said what I was feeling too, which is like, he seemed like that maybe he was a little bit miffed at the lack of activity. How did you read it, and what's the feeling like in the locker room, Shio?
You know, I think he definitely seemed a little grumpy or cranky or however you want to word it. I wouldn't say, you know, he was outright annoyed and, you know, letting everyone know about his frustration or anything like that. And we have to find out what it stems from, because I was watching him after that fumble, and he was very annoyed that he didn't get into the end zone. He stayed on the ground for a few seconds, a couple guys to help him up. He wasn't having it. He walked to the sideline. He walked to the bench and sat down. So this isn't something I think we need to blow up right now, but I'm not ready to sweep it under the rug totally either, because what we heard about him in Miami, where there were times he was unhappy with his touches, and I'll be honest, I thought he would have more touches in that game. I thought he would have more touches the previous week, too. If you look at his snap counts, it's less than LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement since he joined the team. So, you know, maybe he did think that he was going to have a larger role, and it hasn't happened for him so far.
Well, and I'm wondering, Shio, I don't have an issue, even if he was upset at his performance yesterday or possibly not getting the ball as much as he thought he was, he didn't come out right out and say it. And so for someone to have those feelings personally, I'm okay with that. I've been in enough locker rooms where guys aren't happy about snaps they're getting, balls being thrown their way, touches they're getting. As long as you don't go public with it, I don't think it's any type of news, or you don't, as long as there's no issue behind the scene. And I guess I'm in the same category as you. You sort of monitor it, keep your eye on it, but I don't think it's at a point right now where we need to be saying Jay Ajayi is upset and he's disgruntled as a Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's also interesting to see the dynamic in the entire locker room you asked about, John. And it really is a group where every week, you know, it seems like everybody is having a little bit of the production, of the scoring, of the touches on offense. Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, that's one thing that's really stood out with this group, is that it's not like one week they have a matchup and they just exploit it and go to a guy 12 or 13 times. It does seem like everybody's getting a piece of it, and everybody has stayed pretty happy about it. I can tell you this, Alshon Jeffrey had games earlier in the season where he did not get a lot of targets, did not have a lot of receptions. And I saw that guy going over to every defensive player and giving them hugs and high fives and smiling and all that throughout his entire time in the locker room afterwards. So I think they have a very strong culture that way. And, you know, this is a little bit of the risk when you trade for a guy midseason who was in another environment. You're not sure exactly what you're going to get. So, yeah, I think something to keep an eye on. But, you know, I wouldn't say you need to sound the alarms right now.
Yeah, and this team really does have a unique look as far as being a true team. Hey, and we're talking to Shil Kapadia of The Athletic. He joins us every Monday with the Locker Room Report. Shil, for a long time you were here covering on the Eagles beat, covering the Eagles. You remember Doug Peterson from when he was an assistant coach with Andy. You go out to Seattle for a couple of years with ESPN. You're covering the Seahawks. You come back. What is your initial impressions of Doug? What did you think that you were walking into? Because if you listen to what other people were saying last year in the offseason, it was maybe that Doug really wasn't the smartest guy and wasn't the greatest coach, and maybe he was here because of Andy. But what were your impressions coming back to Philly, and what have you actually seen from Doug this year?
You know, I definitely had a lot of questions coming back. I thought it was one of the bigger question marks on the team, whether this guy was the right guy to lead them. And let's be honest, that wasn't just me. That wasn't just outsiders. I think that was the team as well. When you hear the reports about they wanted to hire Ben McAdoo and some other guys, and they kind of landed on Doug Peterson eventually. And, you know, I think if you gave some truth serum to some people in the organization, they would tell you that they weren't 100% sold on Doug Peterson going into the season. But having said that, I couldn't be more impressed with the job this guy has done. And it's in a number of areas. But I think the first thing is just game planning and preparation. And whether you want to say X's and O's or knowing your players well, whatever the case may be, every week this team comes out and has a plan for how they want to attack the opponent. They're averaging over 7 points per game in the first quarter. They're the top first quarter scoring team in the NFL. When they face a guy like Von Miller, they have a plan on how to neutralize him. If they have a tackle like Vitae coming in for the first time, they don't ask him to do everything. They help him out. So I think he's been very strong in that respect. And then, you know, I think one area where a lot of coaches get into trouble is they're kind of egomaniacs. And let's be honest, they want to do everything. And they want to have their hand on every part of the organization. And that has not been the case with Doug. He hands the personnel off. He hands the defense off to Jim Schwartz. I think he really focuses on the culture, the relationships with players, the game planning and scheming on offense, and working with Carson Wentz. And what he's done in those areas, he's done an unbelievable job this year.
Yeah, I agree, Shil. I don't necessarily have a question for you. Just really piggyback off of what you just said. Because I don't think Doug gets enough credit. I think for a guy who received a lot of scrutiny before he was hired or after he was hired here and after his first year and a lot of unfair questions about his qualifications to do this job, you know, I can go through several coaches in this league that don't call plays. I can go through several coaches in this league who supposedly have an expertise on one side of the ball or the other, and that side of the ball is terrible. With this guy, he's an offensive guy who hasn't called plays. We know he didn't call plays out there in Kansas City. And look at what his offense is doing this year, the second year into his coaching tenure with a second-year quarterback. I just don't think he gets enough credit for being able to, I don't know, digest all of this stuff and then spit out top numbers, plays, touchdowns, the things you go down the list offensively in this league where this team ranks. We all want to give the credit to the quarterback and don't give it to the coach. No, the coach deserves a lot of credit for the way this offense has played this year. Carson Wentz as well, but I don't think Doug gets enough credit for the way this offense has played this year.
Yeah, well, it's the top scoring offense in the NFL. Like, I mean, that to me says everything. And the way I look at it, the way I evaluate coaches, or an easy way to do it is, I asked you guys this last week, but just look at the players on the roster. How many are overachieving? How many are underachieving? And, you know, if you guys did this exercise during the show this week, it is very hard to come up with guys who are underachieving. And the guys who are overachieving or at least reaching their potential, you know, it's almost every single starter. Guys like Patrick Robinson on defense, Jalen Mills on defense, offensively, you know, Jason Kelsey, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson, those guys are all legit Pro Bowlers this season. And then, you know, developing the quarterback. We saw it with Jared Goff going from last year to this year. Coaching really does matter. Development, how do you work with a guy? How do you not load up too much on his plate but still not baby him? And they've done an unbelievable job between him, Frank Reich, and John DeFilippo with Carson Wentz. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, Shiel, you, as I mentioned, you covered the Seahawks a couple years for ESPN. That's the site of the Eagles' next game on Sunday Night Football. We know it's not the same Seahawk team. The record is still very good. Is this a Eagles opened up as a 4-point favorite on the road in Seattle? That's the biggest
shocked.
Spread since 2012.
I'm shocked.
How tough of a game is this for the Eagles?
I was stunned. I think my 2 years out there, I don't think they were an underdog at home once against anybody. That kind of shows you the respect that the gambling public is giving to the Eagles right now. You know, it is going to be a tough game. That Seahawks team is just so tough to put away. They're never out of the game in the fourth quarter, but it is a different team. You know, offensively, I still think they can be very good. They've got Russell Wilson. They've got a nice group of weapons. They've struggled on the offensive line. Defensively is where it's going to be interesting. You know, their whole Pete Carroll's philosophy, he built his defenses from the outside in. In other words, he wanted USC to be cornerback U. He believes he can teach safety play like nobody else in the NFL, but they don't have Richard Sherman. They don't have Cam Chancellor. And so they're really banged up in the secondary going with Jeremy Lane, a cornerback who they tried to trade away, but he didn't pass his physical. And then Byron Maxwell, who Eagles fans are familiar with. I mean, those were their two starting corners last week, so you can certainly exploit them that way. But I will say this, that front seven is among the best in the NFL. Bobby Wagner, the middle linebacker, may be the best middle linebacker in the NFL. And then, you know, this offensive line that I just mentioned, they've played so well, but you're going up against some very good pass rushers in Michael Bennett and Frank Clark. So it's going to be, you know, I'm really amped for this matchup. I can't wait to head out there this weekend and watch this game and certainly talk about it and write about it this entire week.
Nice. Gio Capadia of The Athletic. Gio, we'll talk next week. Have a good week, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, there
you go. All right,
Gio. My man, Gio. Yeah, I mean, you know, what he said about the whole thing with Ajayi, I think it's right. Like, there's a reason why people are expecting or maybe thinking that there might be an issue with him not getting carries based on what happened in Miami.
Yep.
But there's no reason to go nuts about it right now.
No, I agree. It's like I said, same thing with LeGarrette Blount. He came in here with a little bit of a reputation being outside of New England when he was with other teams, primarily Pittsburgh. He could be a little bit of a malcontent or a little bit of a live wire.
Brady and Belichick loved him, though.
And he went up there and fit right in with what they wanted so much. So the moment Pittsburgh released him, they signed him.
Immediately.
Yeah, they didn't waste any time. So I just think we before we jump to conclusions, let's let the thing play out a little bit with the Jai. You know, let's let it play out a little bit.
Slow week, though.
No, and I hear that.
Any controversy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.